The next American record is that of the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, 1638-39, and reads as follows. For as much as it hath pleased the Almighty God by the wise disposition of His divine providence so to order and dispose of things that we, the inhabitants and residents of Windsor, and Hartford, and Wethersfield, are now cohabiting and dwelling in and upon the river of Connecticut and the lands thereunto adjoining, and well knowing where people are gathered together, the word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of such a people there should be an orderly and decent government established. According to God, to order and dispose of the affairs of the people at all seasons, as occasion shall require. Do therefore associate and conjoin ourselves to be as one public state or commonwealth, and do for ourselves and our successors and such as shall adjoin to us at any time hereafter, enter into combination and confederation together, etc. End quote. And, sir, the first constitution of your own state minus 1784, in its Bill of Rights, declares, quote, Section 1. All men are born equally free and independent. Therefore, all government of right originates from the people, is founded in consent, and instituted for the general good. Section 3. When men enter into a state of society, they surrender some of their natural rights to that society, in order to ensure the protection of others, and without such an equivalent, the surrender is void. Section 4. Among the natural rights, some are in their very nature unalienable, because no equivalent can be received for them. Of this kind are the rights of conscience. End quote. And in Part 2, of that same Constitution, under the division of the quote-unquote form of government, are these words. Quote, the people inhabiting the territory formerly called the province of New Hampshire, do hereby solemnly and mutually agree with each other to form themselves into a free, sovereign, and independent body politic, or state, by the name of the State of New Hampshire. End quote. In the Constitution of New Hampshire of 1792, these articles are repeated, word for word. They remain there without alteration in a single letter under the ratification of 1852, and also under the ratification of 1877. Consequently, sir, the very state which sends you to this capital is founded upon the very theory which you here deny. This is the doctrine of the Declaration of Independence. It is the doctrine of the Scripture, and therefore we hold it to be eternally true. These sound and genuine American principles, civil governments deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and the inalienability of the rights of conscience, these are the principles asserted and maintained by Seventh-day Adventists.
But society is behind the government which society creates.
Certainly. All civil government springs from the people, I care not in what form it is.
That is all agreed to.
But the people, I care not how many there are, have no right to invade your relationship to God, nor mine. That rests between the individual and God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And as the Savior has made this distinction between that which pertains to Caesar, and that which is God's, when Caesar exacts of men that which pertains to God, then Caesar is out of his place, and in so far as Caesar is obeyed there, God is denied. When Caesar, civil government, exacts of men that which is God's, he demands what does not belong to him. In so doing, Caesar usurps the place and the prerogative of God, and every man who regards God, or his own rights before God, will disregard all such interference on the part of Caesar. This argument is confirmed by the Apostle's commentary upon Christ's words. In Romans 13, 1-9, is written, quote, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. End quote. It is easy to see that this scripture is but an exposition of Christ's words, quote, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, end quote. In the Savior's command to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, there is plainly a recognition of the rightfulness of civil government, and that civil government has claims upon us, which we are in duty bound to recognize, and that there are things which duty requires us to render to the civil government. This scripture, in Romans 13, simply states the same thing in other words, quote, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. End quote. Again, the Savior's words were an answer to a question concerning tribute. They said to him, quote, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or not? End quote. Romans 13, 6 refers to the same thing, saying, quote, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing, end quote. In answer to the question of the Pharisees about the tribute, Christ said, quote, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, end quote. Romans 13, 7, taking up the same thought, says, quote, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. End quote. These references make positive that which we have stated, that this portion of Scripture, Romans 13, 1 through 9, is a divine commentary upon the words of Christ in Matthew 22, 17 to 21.